This is Margie Clark on City Talk 105.9.
Now then, boys and girls, draw close. It's time to get cosmic. Very cosmic indeed. We're going to visit a land lost beneath the waves, Atlantis. So let's introduce Karen from Paranormality.com. She's our regular contributor to the show. She was on a couple of weeks ago talking about the Spear of Destiny. And I sent her off on a mission. I said, Karen, go and find out everything you can about Atlantis. And she's here now to report back. Hi, Karen.
Hiya, Margie.
How are you, girl?
Yeah, not so bad, thanks.
That's good. All is well in your home, yeah?
Yeah, at the moment, everything's ticking along fine, thank goodness.
I'm pleased to hear about that. And you went off and did you have a look at the subject matter for us, Karen?
Yes, I have. I've had a good look at it.
Great.
And I'll tell you something, Margie. I'm absolutely astounded at how such a simple story that began with Plato a few hundred years ago has absolutely snowballed into this massive legend that spans right around the globe. It encompasses the Illuminati. It encompasses extraterrestrial beings.
Everyone's in on the act, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just absolutely amazing. In fact, I've just come off the internet as we speak, and I've been watching an Eric von Danken video that he made about Atlantis One.
Well, he was a brilliant writer. He did Slaughterhouse Five. That's one of his famous books, isn't it?
Yeah, and Chariots of the Gods as well.
And what did he have to say about Atlantis?
Oh, it was just, it was amazing. It was absolutely mind-blowing. He was suggesting that there's a higher being or a higher power out there, and basically man has had contact with beings from these other universes, if you like, and they've come down and they've come to Atlantis and they've been sort of guiding the Atlanteans and giving out knowledge, and they've been scattered around the globe to Tibet and places like Egypt, you know, the Egyptians.
That's right. Information was passed to them.
That's right. Information's been very carefully passed around, but it's been passed around at a very specific time so that the development of man or the evolution of man can happen at a very, very specific time, because they're saying that having knowledge without having the maturity of being able to use that
knowledge, responsibility that comes with it,
could sort of really impede the evolution of the human species.
Well, it's interesting that right now so much information on so many different things, we've covered some of them, you know, like what we did the other week on the Spear of Destiny, is that information now is easy to get, you know, it's coming through thick and fast.
Yes, it is. You're right, Margie.
Something like Atlantis, it's deep in the subconscious mind. Everyone's interested in it.
Yes.
It's a global phenomenon.
Yes,
and
it is.
When you look at the effect it's had on literature, art, popular culture, you know, you've had television series like Stargate Atlantis.
That's right.
The Disney animated film, even Atlantis. Yeah. The Lost Empire.
Yeah. Can you remember Patrick Duffy as well in The Man from Atlantis?
That's right. He was brilliant in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was absolutely great. Do you want me to tell you where it all started then, Margie?
Please, hon.
The root of the story started off with Plato.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he produced a couple of dialogues. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce this. It's something like Timaeus and Critias or Critias. And
Critique.
It could be, but it's actually his grandfather that he was talking to, so it's the name of a person.
Right.
And he produced these two dialogues around 360 BC. And this, apparently, the information was passed down to him from his great-grandfather, who was also called Critias or Critias. Now, his great-grandfather had been talking to this traveller, poet and lawgiver called Solon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'd been travelling in Egypt, and he'd been talking to some eminent Egyptian priests. And they told him all about this land called Atlantis. Now, the way what had happened was Atlantis was a land that was given to Poseidon, who was the god of the sea.
Who had five twin kids, didn't he?
He did. He had five twin kids.
He must
That's
have.
Right.
His wife wasn't knitting condoms then.
No, but the unusual thing about his wife was that she wasn't a god. She was actually immortal. I mean, having five sets of twins, you'd need a god of a husband, wouldn't you?
You would. You'd need a god to help out.
You would. So anyway, his eldest son was called Atlas.
The one who carries the world on his shoulders,
yeah, that's right. And he had this beautiful kingdom right in the middle of Atlantis. And all the other brothers were made princes and they scattered all over the place. Now, Plato attributes the Atlanteans with being a strong naval force. Mm-hmm. And nothing more than that. He suggested that because Poseidon was a god and had then married a mortal, and they continued down the line of marrying mortals, they became further and further away from the spiritual side of things.
Meaning that they developed more of a physicality rather than a spirituality.
Than a spirituality. They became much more materialistic.
Yeah.
And the gods didn't like this. They really
that precipitated the fall of Atlantis then?
This precipitated it. And I mean, I joked about this with my husband. I said, oh, well, maybe the MPs were fiddling their Atlantis claims.
Well, it would be a very fitting punishment, wouldn't
it? You know, it would, you know. So anyway, they got so materialistic that the gods, particularly Zeus, decided this is it. And that was it. They caused a big earthquake, floods, and Atlantis was just sunk to the bottom of the sea. And a big load of mud covered the area and for a while caused problems with shipping in the area. So that was the basic legend.
Karen, yes. But you know, before they became materialistic,
yes.
They were supposed to be very well developed, weren't they? They had some technology there that sounds fascinating. They could fly airplanes or spacecraft with crystal energy.
Yes.
So they don't sound like primitives at all.
Yes. This about the spaceships and the crystal energy, this actually came from the psychic Edgar Cayce.
He was an American, wasn't he?
He sort of took the writing to another level.
Didn't he sort of like channel information?
He did.
He was at the turn of the last century, and he was big mates with the Madame Blavatsky.
That's the one. Yes,
she turns up all the time, that Madame Blavatsky, doesn't she?
She does, yes. Some people even say that she's been one of these that's been given the spiritual knowledge, and this is why she founded her Theosophical Society.
Yeah.
Co-founded the Theosophical Society. And she was claiming that all religions stem from a central source.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, she does. She pops up all over. And she came up with this concept of root races. Have you heard of root races?
I've heard of it. I don't know much. But, you know, fill us in there, Gail.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite interesting, actually. root races. There's seven root races in total. Now, because of the connotation of race, some of the writers have said, oh, we'll call it epochs or eras.
Yeah.
But she refers to it. It doesn't have anything to do with race. It just means it's just a term that she uses. And she reckons that one and two lived in what's called the Hyperborea. And these people were asexual beings that multiplied using division. And they
sort of like clones, then?
That kind of thing. But they weren't very well developed. But they were very, very, what's the word? They were psychic. They had psychic ability, but they didn't really have a lot of morality, and there's not
Which is hence why the gods got a little bit annoyed with them, because the morality wasn't there.
Yes.
Or the ethics.
That's right. So the first and the second root race gave rise to the third root race. Now, the third root race was supposed to have lived at a place called Lemuria. mm-hmm. which is a bit
Mu,
like...
the island of Mu.
No, Lemuria.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. There is another isle called Mu, which is another lost continent. But Lemuria is yet another lost continent.
There's a few gone missing here, kids.
I know, it's amazing they've been going missing all over the years. Well, the third route race were in Lemuria, and these people were allegedly 7 foot tall, mm-hmm. and they were
hermaphroditites.
Yes. But they laid
hermaphrodites.
Laid eggs, apparently. But they were underdeveloped. They weren't very spiritually pure, and they turned to bestiality. Which is very, you know,
no.
the gods.
A big no no for lots of reasons.
Yeah, big, huge no no. And the gods just didn't like this, so they went, Lemuria, no, that's it, we're sinking you to the bottom of the sea. So this started all over again, and we then had the fourth route race. Now, this is where the Atlantis thing comes in. The fourth route race were created again by the gods, and this time they were bestowed with the intellect that was lacking with the third route race.
Who then, you know, committed the bestiality acts because they didn't have that intelligence.
They didn't have the intelligence, they didn't have the intellect. They were just acting on their baser instincts, you see. But whereas they were just a little bit more psychic than what the fourth route race was on Atlantis. So... basically, we know the story now. This is where it gets more complicated when you get into the Edgar Cayce stuff, where you've got things like, oh, they had spaceships and they had all of this fantastic technology.
Yeah, they're supposed to have developed sound engineering. They could build or move monuments with sound. Which, when you think about it, if you swear at someone, if you say something awful to someone, they step back.
They do.
So that knowledge they have, that sound can move things, was put into practice there.
That's right. And that was something else that had angered the thing called the Brotherhood, or the gods in the sky, if you like. They were angry because they had this technology. And according to the Erich von Däniken video that I've just been looking at, which is called Atlantis One, and that's currently available on YouTube, so it's absolutely free. And it's a set of five Atlantis videos, and it's really great because it goes into all of the mythology that has grown up after...
In modern times, mainly.
The modern times, yeah, absolutely. And I was watching it this evening, and it is just absolutely mind-blowing. It really is.
Does he pull things in there like the pyramids? Do they have an association?
Yes, the pyramids were a technology that is supposed to have been passed down by the Atlanteans, because some of the Atlanteans who escaped went to Egypt and passed on the knowledge of the pyramids. And also...
I took it to the mystery schools, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They had all that information, and those that escaped it were of a druidic nature.
Yes.
And took it through the mystery schools and the Babylonian sects and so on.
Yes.
You know, but in these days, over the last, I'd say since the hippie period, there's a whole load of new stuff that's come out about Atlantis.
Yes.
And, you know, what you're saying about the pyramids there, and I mentioned earlier about sound engineering. They're supposed to have used sound engineering, not thousands of people to pull the stones that were massively heavy, that they used sound to lift them up.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I mean, people have often wondered things like Stonehenge. How on earth did those stones actually get there?
Well, you know what? I was talking to someone who was supposed to be an authority on Stonehenge.
Oh, right.
I went down to Stonehenge, this is about 10 years ago, and I was filming there. I was very privileged in a way because I went right inside the stones.
Oh, yes, because nowadays you can't do that.
You can't go near. So I was very privileged and I paid respects. And I was speaking to one of the curators there of the stones, and I said, oh, do you know how the stones got here, love? And she said, yes. She said, they were dragged. I said, what do you mean they were dragged? She said, they were dragged here. Yeah. I said, well, there was only 5,000 people in the country at the time. Are they all down there dragging it?
Yeah. I know. They had to get, they had to get there. Which brings me on to, actually, a fascinating book by a guy called Graham Hancock. He brought something out called Heaven's Mirror. And this was looking at things like Stonehenge. It was looking at the pyramids. And again, it was running through this theme of extraterrestrials, possibly people from Atlantis, kind of thing. And what he was doing is he was looking at how some of the pyramid formations mirrored stars in the sky.
Yes, it's supposed to be the Orion's Belt formation, I think.
Yes.
There's some involvement in it, in that alignment.
There is. There's some involvement in that alignment. He thinks that some of the statues on Easter Island as well could have something to do with it. And it all seems to be getting wrapped around this kind of Atlantis idea that extraterrestrials have come to Earth, and also that knowledge, secret knowledge, has been passed around the globe.
Yes.
You know? And if you listen to the if you listen to the Eric von Daniken video that I was,
I'll have to have a look at them. They sound really interesting.
Oh yeah, it's fascinating.
It is. It's an exciting subject matter, and particularly when you start talking about, I don't call the extraterrestrials aliens. I call them meet the neighbours.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I've got a very, very open mind about extraterrestrials, and I just think because we know that there are more stars in the sky than grains of sand, in all the deserts and all the earth.
There's every possibility.
How can people, the real hardcore skeptics, think that there could never, ever be any chance of extraterrestrial life? Existing elsewhere. And why wouldn't it come to the Earth? And why wouldn't it try to help us, on our sort of quest to move?
Especially if they're far more developed than we are further on, millions of years more advanced.
Yeah.
But, you were talking about Easter Island and the statues that are there and the alignments with Stonehenge and the pyramids, all on the same latitude.
Yeah.
Well, I've been looking at stuff on Mars, but I want to send you away with this one, Karen, if it's possible.
Yeah.
Could you research what's happening in Cydonia on Mars, where the pyramids have turned up there, haven't they?
Oh, I haven't heard of that one, but I
have
can
a look, Karen.
It.
It'll blow your socks off, kidda.
Really? Cydonia on Mars.
Cydonia on Mars, and the satellite that's out there taking all the wonderful pictures.
Yes, the Hubble telescope.
The Hubble telescope has come back with some fantastic pictures from Mars.
Right.
And you can see the water underneath the planet. It's obviously been as fertile as the Earth.
Right.
At one point, and there's a big face on Mars, and it's similar to the face of the Sphinx.
And
so, if the extraterrestrials want us to know they're there, the best thing to put is a big gob. There's a big gob on Mars.
I have heard of the face on Mars. I believe we've covered that on the website.
But there's pyramids, and there's a city.
Yes, I can certainly look into that one for you.
And I think all that revelatory stuff, gates open. It's getting wider and wider. Mm. And maybe people are being softened up. Maybe you and I are softening them up to accept that there is something out there.
Well, if you follow the Blavatsky, the seven root races, she believes that after the Atlantean fourth root race was destroyed, we then moved into the fifth root race, which was the Egyptians, the Tibetans, we all got this knowledge. We will then move forward again, and we're moving towards, where you get a higher spiritual consciousness.
The frequency has been high, which is round about today's time.
That's
where we are right now.
Where we are right now.
And does she refer to these times?
Not specifically, but what she does tell us is that the sixth root race will start in America.
Mm-hmm.
and it'll come out of this route race that we're in now. And then the final route race will be when we sort of move to this higher level completely. And she believed that we would actually leave the planet and go to Mercury.
It's hot on Mercury.
I mean, it's just been absolutely fantastic. Some of the
speculation on it.
Yeah, the myth and the legend that has come out of Atlantis. You know, just from this simple story. And I mean, Plato didn't actually profess that it was real. He never said in his Timaeus and Critias whether or not it was real.
Because there was some contention about it in classic antiquity itself, wasn't there? When they spoke about Atlantis, some of them weren't having it. You know, wouldn't accept what Plato had suggested. They just took it as myth rather than it having a true root.
That's right, yeah, because it was obviously, you know, 600 years BC, it was very difficult to prove. And apparently, preceding the Timaeus and the Critias, the dialogues that he wrote, he was having a conversation about utopia and perfect society. So it could simply have been
wish fulfillment of that.
A wish fulfillment of that he was talking about, yeah.
And something else I picked up on Atlantis that although you'd said they'd lost their frequency and became more dense, became more materialistic.
More materialistic, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why they began to lower the frequency, how they got corrupted, what it was they were corrupted with. Whereas you can plainly see it today, it's money with us.
Money, yeah.
And you don't know whether it was the same thing then, you know, because money basically is only an idea.
Yes.
You know, it can change. We can don't have to deal in a monetary system if we don't want to.
No.
We can deal in something that's just far fairer to the earth and more about sharing. But you wonder what that fall was about with the Atlanteans.
Yeah, if you look at Plato suggests that it was the dilution of the godliness that was in Poseidon. So he came
because
down,
he married a mortal.
He married a mortal, and then she produced sort of half mortal, half god, and then the half mortal, half god.
So they reckon the genes have been weakened?
So they weakened the genes and they sort of moved away from the spirituality side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they had a fantastic system. If you look at what other writers have said about it, they had a fantastic system whereby commodities like water, resources, like food.
Yeah.
They didn't buy them. It was everybody just mucked in together, you know, for want of another word, in inverted commas. You know, they just all sort of helped each other.
Well, I think the higher frequency that we're pointing out to people, which is bound to happen in our evolution, will take us to that type of feeling again, that it's about the sharing wave.
Yeah.
You know, that we live in a civilization, and if you was to count it from 1 to 10, we're at naught.
Yeah.
Because we still use all the Earth's resources.
That's right. Apparently they didn't. The Atlanteans, if you listen to the other writers, I mean, this isn't Plato's account, but if you listen to some of the other writers like Kate and Blavatsky, they really did appreciate Mother Earth for what it was. It was almost like Mother Earth was the body and the people on it were the cells. And it was,
it's a living body. It's not, you know, a shell. It's as alive as you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Its old name in the classics was Gaia.
Yes.
And we've got more of that consciousness and understanding now.
Yes.
But we do need to raise our spirituality, don't we, as human beings?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic thing we've been equipped with. You know, all of this great mind that we've got and the love of life.
Mm.
And it's just one stage further we've got to go.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we will get our problem sorted. But can you believe my producer here is telling we've got to wind up? It's just getting juicy, isn't it, Karen?
I know.
How's the website going?
It's going absolutely great, Guns. We've got a few more developments planned for it over the coming week.
Yeah.
We're going to get some online free tarot reading stuff up there. So
that's great. Do you have subscriptions to your webpage?
How do you mean subscriptions?
Do people pay a fee to get information from you?
Oh, no. What we're doing is we hope to keep things free. I mean, we do sell...
Like, just like what we were talking about, raising the consciousness again.
That's right, yep. That's right.
You've got to lead by example, girl. But before you go, Karen,
yes.
Would you have a look for us for the next meet, the next juicy gabs that me and you have for our listeners?
Absolutely.
Would you look into the Mars phenomenon?
Absolutely, Maggie,
and I'll see what I can find at my end.
Yeah, that would be absolutely fab. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
That will link in with Atlantis as well, because these beings are supposed to have come from Mars and other you know, this is where it's all supposed to have started.
The red
from.
Planet.
Mm.
And that's why we walk up the red carpet.
Oh, hey.
It's another link to it. But I'm really stimulated by all that information you brought, Karen. And we're really beholden to you for that. So thanks, hon.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime, Margie.
Yeah, I made up that you've been on tonight. The listeners will be buzzing.
Oh.
So take care, Karen, at paranormality.com. And we'll see you and speak to you again.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, hon. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to City Talk 105.9.
This is Margie Clark on City Talk 105.9.